let's recap what we discussed thus far, okay? We discussed that there are questions where we can understand what our perspective is to be, but we can't get an ultimate answer, or at least we haven't been given one yet. We discussed that the question of why there's bad, evil, suffering in the world is a big question, and it's a question that you don't need the Holocaust in order to ask. It's a question from the beginning of time. And then we discussed the idea of the example I gave you of the Rav who flew across the world, and the idea that sometimes there's an element of trust that's being developed, or an element of understanding that's being developed, that gives a person that inner fortitude to stand up to questions where he doesn't have answers. So far, we're okay? Okay. Now, I want to jump back to the question of bad in the world, and I want us to view that question from a few different vantage points, okay? You could view that question from the vantage point of an atheist, or the vantage point of one who's questioning. And then I have to give you one type of answer, meaning if a person walks in and says, I don't know if there's a God, I don't know if Judaism's true, I don't know, so then the answer, I'm limited, I can only give him the answers which I can prove, right? So I have to work within a certain system. Within that system, the best answer I can tell him is, I don't know. Whether I understand why there's good or bad in the world does not change the fact that there's a creator who gave us Torah and mitzvahs. I don't have an answer on everything he does in the world, right? I don't have an answer, right? There are a lot of things he does I don't understand. I don't understand why it rains sometimes and why sometimes it doesn't. I don't understand why sometimes there's conception and sometimes there isn't. Why some people are fertile and some people are infertile. I don't understand why God created a world where there's a potential for suffering. I don't have an answer. When I have to work from ground up, I can explain, I think, I can explain a rational explanation that there is a God, there is a creator, he gave us a Torah, he gave us 613 mitzvot, the oral tradition is true, that I can explain. Now you want me to explain why within the world he created evil? I can't do it from the ground up. Meaning if I'm going to have to explain it and prove it logically, that I can't do. I don't know how to do that. Maybe someone else can do it, I can't. I can say what other people might say and tell you why I don't accept it, but that's irrelevant to my mind. But then there's a different vantage point. There's a vantage point of a person who has worked out why Judaism is true. He has worked out why our tradition, the written law, the oral law, why it's true. So then I can give him an answer that I don't have to prove. All I have to do is show him that it comes from Judaism. Understand what I'm saying? So I think that where we've reached at this point is not a bad place, because that's really one of the concluding remarks of Job. God says to Job, I'm here. I've been following everything you do. I know exactly what's going on down there. And now I'm going to explain to you why you've suffered so terribly. And then God goes on and on and on and on. And then he goes to Job, so did you understand? And Job says,
no.
I'm scared of saying no. I can't tell you no. You've made me suffer so much, I can't say I didn't understand. You understand he's saying I didn't, but he's saying I'm not going to say I didn't. But
if he says that I didn't understand, he's scared he's going to get,
more suffering.
Right.
But then Job says, but the truth is that now that I know you're on top of things, so I can live with it. Meaning that what Job is saying is, if I know you're on top of it and you know exactly what's going on, so I don't understand you, but I can live with that. The problem I have is living with a world where everything seems haphazard, or you've given it over to the constellations, or there's been a glitch in the machine where Eov became Oyev, my enemy, and now I'm suffering for nothing, for a glitch in the machine. If it's all a question of, you know, the doctor who decided to harvest an organ illegitimately, the drunk driver who went and smashed into someone's car and handicapped them for life, if it's that caused it, then it's very hard to live with the hardships of life. But if God is running and I don't understand him, so then I can come back to the point, look, he knows what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. I don't have an answer. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Harei ninat kvodecha. Our sages say, what was he asking for? He was saying, God, I look at the world, I don't understand. Good people suffer, bad people have it good. What's going on? God says, Lo yirani adam v'chai. You can't live in this world and understand me. I can explain him, then he won't live. You could look back at history and understand a lot of things that happen in history. You want to live in the present and understand? You can't do that. A human being can't do that. Part of being human is that you live in a world and you look at it and you have to be able to deal with that Yetzer Hara that says, I don't understand it, so maybe he doesn't exist. There's always that conflict. Wait, you've worked it out. You know he exists. But then you're faced with the facts. Avraham Avinu, God just said, sacrifice the kid. But he told me that. So does he exist? Am I hallucinating? I know I'm not hallucinating. So there's that challenge that's part of the challenge of living. That's where we come into Emunah. Emunah is not about, does God exist? That you should be able to work out logically. But then you have to deal with the facts on the ground. Wait a second, how's he running this world? I look at the world and I have questions. I don't have answers for all those questions. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have answers for all those questions. So then I have to be able to say, I know that he has answers and there's a rhyme and a reason behind it. I don't have his answers. I don't know his answers. Now, he does give us certain answers. And some of those answers are useful and beneficial and helpful. And those answers are, once I'm in, from within the realm of Judaism, if I've proven the other aspects, then I could have answers, which again, I can't prove the answers. But my point was that even if I don't go that next step, if we've gotten this far, so then life is very challenging, but it's real. Now we should just be familiar with some of the answers that do exist in Chazal. There's a concept of a world to come. Everything we look at is when something feels very acute. You know, I had a little blister in my foot all week, and it blew my mind how much it affected my life. And I kept trying to ignore it, but I didn't want to step on the blister. So subconsciously, I was shifting my gait. I was shifting my gait. My other foot started to hurt because I was walking not normally. People started asking me on the street, what's wrong with you? You know, come on, I have a little blister. I can't deal with it. So I'm trying to deal with it. But so we live in the here and now. And if something hurts us now, that's major to us. So we hear there was an earthquake and 50,000 people were just killed in a landslide. And we say, that's terrible. When can I get to my dentist? My tooth is killing me. Right? I'm not going to do anything about that landslide. And I hear it. It's somewhere out there. I feel bad. Someone's suffering, right? But my toothache, that's real. So we live the here and now. We live pain. We live the moment. But if we could take a step back and look at the bigger picture, if this world is but a drop in a bucket, if life really extends 50 million years, and within those 50 million years, you're given an opportunity of 70 years to make those 50 million so much better. What's 70 out of 50 million? It's like the little boy who you force him to sit in the dentist, you force him to get the tetanus shot, and you're confident you're a good parent. But his arm's going to hurt him all week. When was the last time you guys got your tetanus shot?
I think that the emerging question that was like asked in the last lesson was one of the things, and there's the literature out there that before the Holocaust, when like the formation of the...
Wait. I'm not going to specifics yet. Wait. That's how I understand the global picture. I give you one answer. Sure. I want to give you one more answer. There are more, but I want two major answers. There's a second answer. I'm saying one answer is if 70 years are just a drop out of a much longer lifetime and they are the starting point which allows you to, so to speak, call it get your points or get into the running so you have 50 million years that are so much better, so then the 70 years suddenly seem like a very little thing, a very minute investment compared to what you're getting. It's true, technically right now it feels major. But that's one vantage point. There's another vantage point, which is similar but not the same, and that is the vantage point of Gilgulim. The idea that the life you're living now is not the first time your soul has come to the world. And so then your soul has issues it has to deal with from other lifetimes. You started fresh, you started clean, you started pure. And then you had desires and challenges and temptations, and then you're constantly working to fix the soul. and there's a constant recycling of the soul in this world so that the soul can constantly get better. Now the question is, what do I do with it? Have I moved up two notches in the world or down two notches in the world? That's a good question. What did I do with this life I was granted? But that's another vantage point, which is also very helpful. But both those vantage points, to my mind, I don't know of a way of proving them logically. It's only if you've accepted Judaism, so those are two vantage points that Judaism has. Two of. There are more. I'm just saying that's those are two. And I think those two are very beneficial. They help a lot. I spent Shabbos with friends of mine after she miscarried the ninth time. She still doesn't have children. Ninth time. And she asked me, one of the questions she asked me is, how am I supposed to look at this? And I said, you know, one of the ways that might be helpful is that there were souls that were huge tzaddikim, but they were never born from a Jewish mother. And they just had to undergo being born from a Jewish mother, and God didn't want to give them an opportunity to mess up. Because I know we're all perfect, but there are still other people outside this room who mess up in this lifetime. They do more sins than mitzvos out of this room. So that's one vantage point, and it could help a person deal. Imagine a poor woman's ready, you know, to go out of her mind. So that's a vantage point is critical. That's what we began with.
How old is she?
Now she's in her 40s. When I spoke to her, she was in her late 20s, early 30s.
She's even up since then.
Correct.
Terrible.
Yeah. At any rate, so that's in a nutshell. Now you want to break down specifics of Holocaust? We can do that. We can try to talk about that.